The most beautiful girl in the world. It was the last autumn of innocence, I think. Boston was green and gold and all kinds of bright orange, vermilion, and paisley. The air so crisp and fresh, and all things were possible. The Sox had just won the sixth game of the best World Series ever. Nixon had been gone for a year. Drugs were still as American as Scrapple. Sex was safer than it would ever be again, at least physically. I was standing on the platform of the Red Line with my soon-to-be ex-fiancée, Doris, who was bothering me about something, as she did between 1972 and 1976. It was early evening. Down at the end of the station sat a mid-size ersatz collie dog, just beyond puppyhood, laughing. Her eyes glowed with a tremendous good nature and trust, unencumbered by a surfeit of complicated insights. She was alone. "Hi," I said. She came over, licked my hand discreetly, allowed herself to be scratched for a time, chased her tail in a dignified circle, lay down again. I remember thinking, there are times God puts a choice in front of you. I often had such thoughts back then. We took the dog. She went totally nuts when she understood the news, bounding and leaping in a vertical parabola to kiss my face, and generally expressing an exuberance that made me want to laugh. As a worldview, it was so inappropriate. Searching for the makings of a proto-leash, Doris found in her bottomless denim bag a hank of purple yarn, possibly the one she used for the 3-year sweater for Stan project, the completion of which turned out to signify the end of our relationship. I wrapped several lengths around her neck, the dog's, that is, but it did not serve. To get her home in one piece, I had to pick her up and hold her like a